Today we're launching into another series called just Jonah. I mean, it's the book of Jonah. What else do you call it? And today our subtitle will be The Jonah in Us. You're going, what does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about it today. We're starting this four-week journey through the book of Jonah. There's four chapters, so one chapter each week is what we're going to look at. Now, most people feel like, well, I know the story of Jonah. But through these weeks, we're going to look at principles. We're going to see the story, but I want to look at principles that we can learn from the story, the whole story. Let's get started today. Jonah chapter 1, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. People go, where's Jonah? Jonah's in the Old Testament. He's one of the prophets. And if I told you my page number, it wouldn't mean anything. So you go find it. You have an index. So chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. These verses begin to set the context for what's going to happen. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. In verse 3, we see Jonah's response. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look into your word today, you would teach us. Lord, you gave us this story and preserved this story so we can learn. Help us hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our lives today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Nineveh was a city that Jonah was commanded to go to and to preach actually against it because of their wickedness. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh was one of Israel's worst enemies. The Israelites hated the Ninevites. Look at verse 1, though, again, of Jonah 1. And the Bible says, what does it say? Read it with me. The word of the Lord. Let me pause for a moment. The word of the Lord, it says, came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Could I let you know that God is a God who loves to speak into our lives? When God created the heavens and the earth, he said, let there be. And when he spoke, things begin to exist. Things begin to happen. Throughout history, God has spoken in many different ways. God has spoken in an audible voice. God has spoken through his prophets. God has spoken through circumstances. God has spoken through the voice of the Holy Spirit. And today, I believe God wants to speak to your life. And he does so through his written word. Church, this is God's word. It is prescriptive to our lives. It prescribes how we are to live and who he is. And it is living and it's active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The word is truth. The word can transform you and me. And this word is coming to you today. It is speaking to you today. And you have a choice. You can do what God wants you to do, and that is to be obedient to his word, or you can do what Jonah did, and you can run away from what God is speaking to you. Every time we open up his word, I want you to know his word comes to us. And that's good news. But then we have to take the challenge of when we hear his word to put it into action and obey it. Amen? Amen? Need to be good Pentecostals this morning. Let me give you my first point for the day. When God does speak, number one, God may ask you to do something you do not want to do. Everybody's excited about that. Go ahead, speak, Lord. Everybody read that with me. God may ask you to do something you do not want to do. Sadly, many people struggle with obeying God and His Word. Because they think they know best. It's amazing how we try and convince ourselves that we really know what's best for our lives. For example, let me ask a couple of questions. What's best, chocolate or vanilla? Let me reverse it. Maybe it should be vanilla or chocolate, so I'm not leaning on one heavier than the other. Is that fair enough? All right, how many would say chocolate? How many would say vanilla? How many would say strawberry? See, the problem is you think you know best, and we don't. There's all differing opinions in here. You already saw that. But we don't know what's best for our lives. Let me tell you this, God knows what's best for our lives. And at times, God's Word comes to us and it challenges our lifestyle. It challenges the way we think. It begins to define standards and morals that we should have in our lives. And many times, it will go against the way we think. That's why we need to obey His Word, because He knows best. Amen? Well, this is where Jonah is struggling. Here's the command Jonah receives in verse 2. The word of the Lord came to him, right? Remember verse 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and do what? Preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, Jonah, you have to understand, was a prophet of the Lord. He was called to preach God's prophetic word. And you might wonder, well, why didn't Jonah just obey this simple assignment, this simple command? I mean, this is what he was called to do, and he gets the call to go, and he runs from it. Well, maybe to understand a little better, you might need a brief history lesson about Nineveh or the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh itself was the most populated city in the Assyrian Empire. In fact, chapter 3, we're going to read it when we get there, but Nineveh was so large, it took a 3-day walk to go through the city. I mean, I could walk probably from one end of Detroit to the other in a day. It'd be a whole day, but this is a 3-day walk. This is a massive city. The city was, though, part of an incredible, wicked empire, the Assyrian Empire. And to guard your ears and little ones' ears in here today, I cannot go into how brutal the Assyrians were when they would attack someone. You can go read about it. I'll just say, think of the worst things that you think could be done, and you would still be in your mind underestimating and understating how sadistic and how atrocious they were. In fact, I want you to hear what God said. Its wickedness has come up against me, or come up before me. In fact, He always said that about Sodom earlier in the Word of God. And now Nineveh is so wicked. Honestly, if you go read about the brutality of the Assyrians, you will be horror-struck and disgusted, and you'll probably begin to understand why Jonah did not want to go there, why he hated the people of Nineveh. They were violent, they were ruthless. And in Jonah's mind, he really has legitimate reasons in his thinking of why he does not want to obey God. But just because Jonah thought what he thought, he was not right. And just so you know, the word of the Lord may come to some of you in your pain and your anger and in all the things you feel. Maybe some of you feel like you've been mistreated or hurt. Or maybe it's someone you know and you love that has been harmed in some way. But the word of the Lord comes to you, and the word of the Lord tells you, forgive them. To forgive as you have been forgiven. And you look at the situation and you say, but I don't want to forgive them. They don't deserve it. Don't you know what they did to me? I do not feel like forgiving them. And you say, I know that's what God wants me to do, but I don't want to do it. And church, that is the Jonah in us. Maybe you've been in a dating situation, or maybe you are right now. And in that dating situation, the next thing you know, you're probably doing things you shouldn't be doing. And the word of the Lord says, wait a minute, that's for marriage. That's not for dating. And you've got a choice. And a lot of people will say, well, I know that's what God says, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do what God's telling me to do. And we find out that that's the Jonah in us. Church, also understand this, that when the Lord speaks to you and you keep saying, one day, Lord, I'll get around to it, but you never do, that's called delayed obedience. And by the way, delayed obedience is disobedience. Church, that's the Jonah in all of us. Jonah said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to have anything to do with those people. Just know that God may ask you to do something you do not want to do. Here's my second thought for today. Whenever God does speak, know this. You can always find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. You can always find transportation, a ship moving away from where God is calling you. Watch what happens in verse 3. Scripture says, but Jonah, what did he do? Say this with me. Ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Says he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Why did he sail for Tarshish? Well, because he was running away from God. Let me show you a map just to kind of let you see this. God said, go to Nineveh, okay? He heads to Joppa to get on a boat going to Spain. He is going to go 3,000 miles away from where he's been called to go. Church, that's running away. It's not like, I'm just going to stay here. I'm already some 500 miles from it. That should be enough distance. No, he leaves his targeted destination that God is calling him, church, to. Now, some of you may not be running away like Jonah, but maybe you're just drifting. You're not targeting really where you're supposed to be going. You're just thinking, well, if God wants me to do that, then he'll cause the waves to carry me there. Church, we don't need to wait for the waves. Drifting will cause you to sail in the wrong direction also. So let me remind you, when we disobey the commands of the Lord, intentionally or even unintentionally, we're drifting away and we're running away from what God wants in your life. If you don't want to do what God's asking you to do, just remember you can always find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. Third point today, God may send a storm to grab your attention. Listen to verse 4. So Jonah's on the run. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Now, the ship itself was full of sailors that were transporting their cargo and heading to Spain and was on this really quite a long journey. And most likely, this would have been a fairly strong ship for that journey. God sends along this wind that causes a storm to arise. And before long, we find out the boat is in jeopardy, threatening, it says, to break up. Verse 5. All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. Now, I don't know how Jonah slept through this. I have no idea. I mean, this storm was a mean one because the sailors, it tells us, were afraid. The sailors are like, what are we going to do? We've got a real issue on our hands. And so they begin to throw cargo overboard. This is part of their livelihood that they're throwing away. Next, we find out that the captain was afraid. that they were about to perish. And he's the one who finds Jonah sleeping. Verse 6, the captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Same thought we had. Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Before long, the sailors start wondering, why is all this happening? Whose fault is this anyway? I mean, why is this happening to us? In verse 7, the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? And what kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And verse 9 reveals the answer. He said, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Verse 10, this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" Then we're given a parenthetical thought. It says they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And then about this time in verse 11, the storm gets stronger. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" Now, let me make some thought statements here. I believe there's several problems going on in America today. You probably have those thoughts as well. But I also want you to know there's several problems going on in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I'm more concerned about those problems than I am the ones in America. One is this, that we have a generation of people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ but do not live like followers of Jesus Christ. That's where Jonah is. He's telling them, "Listen, I'm a worshiper of God who made the heavens and the earth," but he is not following God. In fact, they were told earlier, as we read, that he was running away from the Lord. And church, I want you to know, you can tell the difference between those who say they love Jesus and the heathen next door. At least you ought to be able to tell the difference. In fact, if you can't, then you know they're just Christian in name only, and they're not really walking that walk with Jesus. People who say they want to follow Jesus, but there's nothing really in their daily life that resembles the teaching of Jesus from Scripture, it tells you something is wrong. There should be a difference between a person who just thinks they know about Jesus and someone who is really a worshiper of Jesus. Because I want you to know, worship of God or for God is more than Sunday music moment. Worship is a lifestyle. In fact, let me make this statement. Worship is a surrender of your thoughts and intents and commitment and purpose each and every moment of each and every day. Worship is a surrender of your thoughts, your intents, and commitment and purpose each and every moment of each and every day. Our belief in God should be seen in a God-living lifestyle. That's what the sailors are trying to figure out about Jonah. He's telling us that he's following God, but he told us he's running away from God. And they're asking Jonah, "What have you done?" The next question is, "What should we do to stop the storm?" Forgive me if this comes across harsh in any way, but church, I have to tell you, I don't want to be a part of a lukewarm cultural Christianity. We are people who believe that God speaks into our lives, so we ought to be living like he called us to live. Amen. I want you to know there is a big storm in America. And I'm telling you, the sails on the boat are being battered by the storm. And some of the sails are even being torn maybe apart. But we are the people of God, and we need to stand up and begin to act like the people of God. And God is calling us to preach his message and his grace to a wicked people. Why? So they can repent and be saved. I believe Jesus came not only to be Savior, but he is a Savior. I know some in church are thinking, well, my private rebellion is not hurting anyone. You're wrong. Because Jonah disobeyed, it hurt the people in the boat. As a believer, as a born-again believer, you need to know that God has called you to live for him. And you need to respond to God and get out of your private rebellion. And let God begin to really have his way in your life. And then God can begin to do what God wanted to do. In fact, you already know the story of what happens in Nineveh. If you don't, you find out Nineveh is going to repent. Just think what God could do. But just remember, if you don't want to follow him, God may send a storm to grab your attention. Well, Jonah finally comes to the place and realizes it's my fault. I'm responsible for what's going on. Verse 12, we continue to read. He said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." But the sailors were too merciful. Verse 13, instead, the men did their best to row back to land. Row, row, row your boat. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And since that didn't work, then they are left with just one decision. Verse 14. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. And then something unbelievably bad happened to Jonah. He got swallowed by a big fish. The Lord, it says in 17, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And that leads me really to my last thought for today. Jonah's worst nightmare was exactly what he needed. Verse 17 again, I want you to understand this. Now the Lord, what did the Lord do? Now the Lord did what? Provided. Even when you're rebelling, I want you to know the Lord is providing a way for you to come back. He provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. The Lord provided it. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, what Jonah might be thinking was the worst possible scenario. I've gotten eaten by a fish. I'm not just floating in water. I'm not looking for a piece of wood. I'm in the belly of a fish. But I want you to know that God was working in the midst of it all. I want you to know, remember that God provided that fish. And next week we'll pick up in chapter 2, him inside of the fish. Now, a couple of things you need to know. I don't believe that everything bad that happens in life is from the Lord. But I do believe that God allows what we might consider our worst nightmare to happen in our lives so he can get our full attention. Just like he got Jonah's attention. Whenever the word of the Lord comes to you, a couple of things. God may ask you to do something you don't want to do, and you have a choice. You can obey or disobey. Also know that you can find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. And then if you get on that boat, God may send a storm to grab your attention. And if that does not seem to be enough, God may allow you to face your worst nightmare. Why? Because he loves you. And because he loves others, everybody on this earth. And he has something for us to do. Pastor James, I'm just looking around, but he can come. I believe that God may have a city or a group of people that he wants you to impact. Do you think that? God wants to use your life. And you have a choice. You can run from that call, or you can simply just respond to what he's asking you to do. I don't know who's in the room today and where you're living in that in regards to any of this, but if you're here today and you're running from God's call, or maybe you're just drifting without direction today, your prayer ought to be, God, would you renew the joy of my salvation, my call? Put me back on purpose for you, and God, forgive me for my disobedience. And then come back to the Lord and fulfill what he's called you to do. If that's you today and you're in this place, it's between you and the Lord, but I'm going to ask, because as a pastor, I want to help you get back on track. I want us to pray together. And if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand and say, that's me. I need to get back to God. I need to get back to this place where I'm fulfilling what he's called in my life. And today, you can have a holy moment of coming back to the Lord. Because we're going to make the place right where you are, because Jonah ends up having to make the place right where he was, an altar before God. And I'm hopefully you're not in the belly of a fish somewhere feeling like life is about to end. But you're in the right place because you're in the presence of God today. And you can make this altar before him. And ask him, say, God, I'm going to get back on track. So I'm going to pray, and if you just take a moment and pray in your heart. God, I want to thank you, first of all, for your mercy. Lord, that you understand our humanity. And I thank you for your grace that you pour into our lives. God, could I ask you to forgive us for the times that we've disobeyed your voice? The times we've allowed our lives to drift and be blown by the wind of the storms? Scripture tells us there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is death. God, we do not want that in our lives. Help us not to look at what we think is right, but help us see what is right in your eyes. God, help us to run to you and not from you. And Holy Spirit, would you help us hear clearly today and respond the right way and obey. In Jesus' name I pray. There may be others listening online or with us today. You've not really surrendered to the very first call of God, and that is to be born again. Today, you can ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, to be your Savior. Today, you can surrender your life to him, believing that he died for you and that he rose again. And if you're in that place today, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. In fact, I just want to invite everybody to pray this with me. Let's just settle the issue once again. And for those who are listening online, listen, God loves you. And he's come to redeem you. And I want you to know him and follow him. Would you pray this with me, everyone? Say, Heavenly Father, I am coming home. I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. Jesus, forgive me. And make me brand new today. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose for me. And I want to live for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I belong to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible says that even if one comes home, all of heaven's rejoicing today. Celebration. And I celebrate if you made that decision, but don't just make the decision. Tell somebody about it and get into a place and surround yourself with the people of God. Don't run from God. Follow God. And never turn back. Amen? Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we walk through this season of the story of Jonah, Lord, I pray we'll see the Jonah in us. And Lord, that we would repent and we would change and we would come home and be obedient to your word. Continue to speak to us, I pray, each week that we might honor you in everything we say and we do. Why? For your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, and I pray you have a Jesus-filled week. Live for Jesus, church. And as you do so, pray for our nation. Continue to remember our leadership and pray for them. Because I'm telling you what, God might be sending storms in their lives to wake them up. Who knows? All you have to do is obey the Lord what he's called you to do. Amen? All right. God bless you. Amen. And have a great week.